All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Sri the Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tonight, this evening, we're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, Chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, Text 7. So if you know the Sanskrit, you can repeat after me. Yada yada hi dharmasya. Glanirbhavati Bharata Abhyutanam Adharmasya Tadatmanam Srijamyaham. The synonyms, yada yada, whenever and wherever. He, certainly, Dharmasya, of religion. Glanihi, discrepancies. Bhavati, become manifested. Bharata, O descendant of Bharata. Abhyutana, predominates. Adharmasya, of irreligion. Tada, at that time. Atmana, self. Srijami, manifest. Aham, I. So Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. Please repeat. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time, I descend myself. So the purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Srijami is significant herein. Srijami cannot be used in the sense of creation because according to the previous verse, there is no creation of the Lord's form or body since all of the forms are eternally existent. Therefore, Srijami means that the Lord manifests himself as he is. Although the Lord appears on schedule, namely at the end of the Dwapara Yuga of the 28th millennium of the 7th Manu and one day of Brahma, he has no obligation to adhere to such rules and regulations because he is completely free to act in many ways at his will. He therefore appears by his own will whenever there is a predominance of irreligion and a disappearance of true religion. Principles of religion are laid down in the Vedas, and any discrepancy in the matter of properly executing the rules of the Vedas makes one irreligious. In the Bhagavatam, it is stated that such principles are the laws of the Lord. Only the Lord can manufacture a system of religion. The Vedas are also accepted as originally spoken by the Lord himself to Brahma from within his heart. Therefore, the principles of Dharma or religion are the direct orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dharman Tushakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. These principles are clearly indicated throughout the Bhagavad Gita. The purpose of the Vedas is to establish such principles under the order of the Supreme Lord, and the Lord directly orders at the end of the Gita that the highest principle of religion is to surrender unto him only and nothing more. The Vedic principles push one towards complete surrender unto him, and whenever such principles are disturbed by the demoniac, the Lord appears. From the Bhagavatam, we understand that Lord Buddha is the incarnation of Krishna who appeared when materialism was rampant and materialists were using the pretext of the authority of the Vedas. Although there are certain restrictive rules and regulations regarding animal sacrifice for particular purposes in the Vedas, people of demonic tendency still took to animal sacrifice without reference to the Vedic principles. Lord Buddha appeared in order to stop this nonsense and establish the Vedic principles of nonviolence. Therefore, each and every avatar or incarnation of the Lord has a particular mission, and they are all described in the revealed scriptures. No one should be accepted as an avatar unless he is referred to by scriptures. It is not a fact that the Lord appears only on Indian soil. He can manifest himself anywhere and everywhere and whenever he desires to appear. In each and every incarnation, he speaks as much about religion as can be understood by the particular people under their particular circumstances. But the mission is the same, to lead people to God consciousness and obedience to the principles of religion. Sometimes he descends personally, and sometimes he sends his bona fide representatives in the form of his son or servant or himself in some disguised form. The principles of Bhagavad Gita were spoken to Arjuna, and for that matter to other highly elevated persons, because he was highly advanced compared to ordinary persons in other parts of the world. 2 + 2 = 4 is a mathematical principle that is true in the beginner's arithmetic class and in the advanced class as well. Still, there are higher and lower mathematics. In all incarnations of the Lord, therefore, the same principles are taught, but they appear to be higher and lower in varied circumstances. The higher principles of religion begin with acceptance of the four orders and the four statuses of social life, as will be explained later. The whole purpose of the mission of incarnations is to arouse Krishna consciousness everywhere. Such consciousness is manifest and non-manifest only under different circumstances. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. I read this particular verse about the incarnations of Krishna because in a few days, as was mentioned just a moment ago, we are celebrating the appearance of an avatar of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we have deity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the altar on your far left, along with his brother, Lord Nityananda, his chief associate, who in Krishna Leela is Lord Balaram, Krishna's brother. So, his is a very important incarnation. He is known as the most merciful and the deliverer of the fallen. He is giving freely the highest thing. Usually when Krishna comes to this world, he makes a lot of demands upon his followers, many. Because Krishna wants to give the highest thing, love of God. This is actually the most valuable thing in the world, more valuable than anything we can imagine. Because it gives the highest pleasure, it frees the soul from the cycle of birth and death. It is the most wonderful thing. It is the most valuable thing. And the most valuable thing usually has a very high price. It requires a lot of qualification. You know, for example, if you want to buy a house or a car, people want to check into your credit record, you know, to see how qualified you are, you know, to get a loan, to get a house or a car. because, you know, a house or a car is a valuable thing, and you have to have certain qualifications in order to get it, or to get some high post, to get a nice position in some company or university or the government. You know, you have to have certain qualifications. And the higher the post, the higher the qualification. So this love of God, prema, is the highest thing that it's possible to achieve, for anyone to achieve. It's more valuable than any amount of money, any amount of jewels, any position, any number of followers. It's the most valuable thing. So generally there is a very high price for it. But Lord Chaitanya is giving this love of God, prema, very freely, and there's actually no qualification other than that you're in a human body. And even that's not, it's not even limited to that, because you can see this painting up here on the ceiling where Lord Chaitanya is chanting Hare Krishna, giving the experience of the love of God even to the animals in the Jharkhanda forest. So what to speak of human beings? So all of us are qualified by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya to receive this highest gift. And it just depends upon us whether or not we're going to pick it up and take it. That's the only choice that we really have to make. If we do make the choice to take, then gradually from within our hearts, Krishna will help us, you know, become qualified, help us give up our, you know, bad habits. We may think we have so many disqualifications, but if we just make the attempt to take the mercy that Lord Chaitanya is offering, then from within the heart, you know, Krishna will help purify us, make us qualified to receive this highest gift of love of God that Lord Chaitanya is offering. I mean, normally something valuable like gold, it requires, you know, a very high price. I think gold is now at $1,000 an ounce. And that's quite expensive. But what if somebody told you that right at this moment, somebody's outside distributing bars of gold for free? You would want to take advantage of it. So that's actually what Lord Chaitanya is doing. He is giving the most valuable thing for practically nothing. Just asking us to accept it, make the effort to accept it. That's all. So this is the very special feature of Lord Chaitanya. To put it in another way, usually there's a cost for something. You know, usually, you know, if you want to go on the World Wide Web and download a movie or a song, you know, there's some cost. You know, you have to pay, you know, a certain amount for the song, a certain amount for the movie. But then there are these people called hackers who want to make everything available for free. You know, so they figure out ways, you know, to break the codes, to break down everything so that people can get these valuable things for free. And essentially, you could say that's what Lord Chaitanya has done. He's taken this most valuable thing that normally, I mean, yogis in previous ages would have to meditate for thousands of years to get this, to even get a glimpse of it. Or people would have to perform elaborate sacrifices that you cannot even imagine how much wealth in terms of gold, ghee, grains, and things that they would require. And the sacrifices that had to be very expertly performed by expert brahmins, so much so that they even pronounced a syllable wrong, then the whole thing would be messed up. So usually, in order to get what Lord Chaitanya is offering, yogis and sages and kings and others had to perform really austere, perform a lot of austerities, perform a lot of trouble, pay a very high price to get this. But Lord Chaitanya is offering it for free, really. No qualification. You know, it's like if you go to the car lot and they say, no, we don't care about your credit. We don't care anything. You get a car. So Lord Chaitanya is doing that. He's offering the most valuable thing for the smallest possible price. And we all like a good deal, so we should take advantage of this. Now, another feature that distinguishes Lord Chaitanya is his, what we might call, the peaceful avatar. Because normally, when Krishna comes to this world, he appears in a family of kshatriyas, warriors. Because in this world, there are always two kinds of people, the good and the bad, the demoniac and the divine. And sometimes Krishna finds it necessary to take on the demoniac forces, who are very violent themselves. For example, we see that Krishna killed many demons in his form of Lord Nrisimha, for example. As we see here, he's killing the demon Hiranyakashipu. And on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, we see Krishna again as a kshatriya with his warrior disciple Arjuna. And he's instructing him to fight a battle to establish the divine principles against the demoniac forces. But in this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in the family of brahmanas. So he's peaceful. He's not appearing as a warrior. Although sometimes when his devotees were attacked, he would become angry. You can see in the painting on the ceiling in the far corner over there, there was an incident that happened in the city of Navadvip in Bengal when Lord Chaitanya appeared over 500 years ago in Bengal. He was spreading his movement of love of God by his usual method, chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Not like Krishna, engaging in big battles, but going into the street and simply chanting the Hare Krishna mantra with his followers. So Lord Chaitanya's army was not an army of kshatriyas who were fighting to establish truth and divine principles. He had another kind of army, an army of people who were willing to humble themselves by going out into the streets and chanting the holy names of God to attract the attention of the fallen souls of the Kali Yuga. So some of his followers, headed by Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur and others, were attempting to do that. And there was some resistance from some of the people. And we see that even today. In different countries, our members of Lord Chaitanya's movement, our members of the Hare Krishna movement, sometimes they go into the street chanting the holy names of God or trying to, in other ways, spread Lord Chaitanya's movement. And they're persecuted somehow or other. People either ignore them or sometimes actually try to stop them. In some countries, like Russia, before it became free from communism, devotees were put into prison and suppressed in other ways, and this is still happening in some countries. So 500 years ago, the same thing was happening. There was some resistance from some of the sinful people in that town of Navadvip, including especially two personalities known as Jagai and Mudhai. They were two brothers, but they were very, very sinful, and they were very resistant to this movement of Lord Chaitanya. And when they saw the devotees chanting Hare Krishna in the streets, trying to give love of God, prema, they threw things at them, pieces of pots and things like that. And one of Lord Chaitanya's devotees was struck on the head by a piece of pot like that and began to bleed. So Lord Chaitanya immediately came to the spot in a very angry mood, and he was going to use his chakra, his wheel weapon, to dispatch these two brothers. But Lord Nityananda reminded him, no, this is the age of Kali. In this age, you're not in that mood. If you were going to do that, you'd have to kill everybody, because everybody in this age is sinful and resistant. to love of God. So in this age, in your form of Lord Chaitanya, you are freely giving mercy like this in a very peaceful way. So this is actually how the Krishna consciousness movement is spreading around the world in a peaceful way, simply by people, Lord Chaitanya's followers, chanting Hare Krishna, distributing prasadam, nice spiritual vegetarian food, dancing, and speaking a little philosophy from time to time. This is how Lord Chaitanya's movement has spread around the world. And if we look at the recent history of the world, we see the way that most religions have spread around the world is by violence. Several centuries ago, the Europeans came here with guns and weapons, and they conquered the people here and converted them. And same thing has happened in Asia. Other religions have also spread in the same way, by violent methods. But Lord Chaitanya's movement is spread simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, distributing prasadam. Of course, if somebody came in here with a gun and tried to shoot things up, we would take some action. We're not foolish. But basically, Lord Chaitanya's movement is a nonviolent movement, which is meant to spread all over the world by that nonviolent method. And that's very significant. Because we see in this world today there's so much violence being carried out in the name of religion. And we also see that Lord Chaitanya's movement was non-sectarian in the sense that he welcomed everyone into it. For example, he welcomed Muslims into his movement. There was one of his devotees named Haridas Thakur. Of course, that wasn't the name that he was born with. He was born with a Muslim name. But he became attracted to Lord Chaitanya and his movement. He began to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. He began to spread the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra to others. And he became so dear to Lord Chaitanya that he called them the Acharya of the holy name, the spiritual master of the holy name of Krishna, even though he was born in a Muslim family. At one point, Lord Chaitanya and Haridas Thakur were in Jagannath Puri, and the priest would not let him, Haridas Thakur, into the Jagannath Puri temple. Just like today, some of us who weren't born in India, although we're Vaishnavas, were not allowed into that temple. But he didn't lead some violent protest. He just sat outside the temple, and Lord Chaitanya would come and visit him. And Lord Chaitanya also accepted Buddhists into his movement. When he was traveling in South India, he met some Buddhist philosophers and he converted them. So all the different kinds of people who were present in India at that time were welcomed into Lord Chaitanya's movement. And we see today that Lord Chaitanya's movement has spread all over the world, and people from all kinds of backgrounds, people from Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, all kinds of backgrounds are now taking part in this movement. And also, even among Hindus in India, Lord Chaitanya welcomed people from every level of society. Now, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that Chaturvarnya Mayashrastam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha, that he set up the original caste system not on the basis of birth, but on the basis of guna, quality, and karma, work. So that if in the original system, the highest position was that of a brahmana, a spiritual person, it's like the head of society, the brain. And the Kshatriyas were supposed to organize society in a proper way so that everybody was able to live well, both materially and spiritually. And then there were the Vaishyas, the farmers, and the business people who were to provide the economic necessities for everybody in the society. And then there were the Sudras, the ordinary laborers, who were like the legs of the society that are meant to support the whole body. Of course, all the parts of the body are important. The head has to be there, the arms have to be there, the belly has to be there, the legs have to be there. All the parts have to be there, working harmoniously together. And in the original system that Krishna outlined in the Bhagavad Gita, the position that one took was not on the basis of birth, but on the basis of the qualities that one displayed and the kind of work that they were able to do. So that if somebody had the quality of a Brahmin and did the work of a Brahmin, but wasn't born in a Brahmin family, they would be accepted as Brahmin. Now, of course, to be born in a Brahmin family, that's a great advantage. Just like to be born in a family of doctors, that's very good. But to actually become a doctor, you actually have to go to school, get your own degree, your own certification. So, Lord Chaitanya, he accepted into his movement everyone from every level of society. Not only non-Hindus, but also within the Hindu society, he accepted people from every level. Because ultimately, he said, we're all equal. Jivara Swarupahoy Krishnara Nitya Das. On the external platform, there may be so many differences, but inside, we're all spirit souls, all equally sons and daughters of the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. And he practically demonstrated that. And his was a mass movement, but it was also a movement for the highest class of people. Sometimes he was in the streets chanting Hare Krishna, distributing prasadam. But sometimes, as we see in this painting up here towards the front, he was speaking the Vedic philosophy to the highest class of philosophers and convincing them that love for Krishna is the actual purpose of the Vedas. Just like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa sarvar aham eva vedyo. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. So Lord Chaitanya established that. He would discuss things with philosophers, just like in our modern Hare Krishna movement. Sometimes we're having huge festivals like Rath Yatra, as we're going to have in August, where thousands of people come and enjoy chanting, dancing, nice food, very nice. But we're also prepared to go to the universities, to go to the scientific conferences and explain this philosophy in the proper way. So, Lord Chaitanya, he established this himself. He wanted to attract the mass of people, but also the higher classes of people and intellectuals. So we're arranging our movement like that. And another thing is that there's an element of prophecy in Lord Chaitanya's movement. He said, Pritiviti achayati nagaradi gram sarvacha prachoybehoi bimaranam. He said the name of Krishna, the chanting of Krishna's name, would spread to every town and village in the world. Now, when he said this 500 years ago, nobody could imagine such a thing, that worship of Krishna would spread outside India. You could hardly imagine it. But 500 years later, we've seen it's come true because Lord Chaitanya's followers, like Srila Prabhupada especially, took that instruction, that prophecy, seriously. There were others before Srila Prabhupada who understood that this would happen. For example, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the 19th century. You know, he was a follower of Lord Chaitanya, a great spiritual master. He had a vision in which he saw people from Russia, Germany, America, England coming to Bengal to to take part in Lord Chaitanya's movement. And we've just heard from Swavas Prabhu, who was just in Mayapur, Lord Chaitanya's appearance place, where we've seen that prophecy come true. There you have thousands of people from all over the world, from Russia, England, Germany, America, joining with the Bengalis and the Indians who are from the land of Lord Chaitanya, and all joining together, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And another feature of Lord Chaitanya's movement is, in one sense, it's very traditional. In one sense, it's very traditional. It's preserving the essence. But it's also adapted to the modern times, so that we can see the followers of Lord Chaitanya all over the world. They're using all the latest technological achievements and advancements to spread Lord Chaitanya's movement without changing the essence of it. So it's very, you know, up to date. You know, these days, young people especially, they don't want to be identified with anything that's old-fashioned or... But so this modern Krishna consciousness movement, while preserving the essence, is totally up to date, you know, contemporary, just like Krishna himself. He's the oldest, but he's also the youngest, Navayovanam. Although he's the oldest person, he's also totally up to date, totally contemporary. And Lord Chaitanya established that, and we're also trying to pursue that. And finally, I'll mention one thing here. That, what time am I supposed to stop? Six or before six? Five. Okay. So, the other thing is that there is a certain esoteric aspect to Lord Chaitanya's appearance. Because we mentioned this idea, love of God, prema. But what is the form that this love of God takes? Originally, it has to do with the dealings between Radha and Krishna. Krishna is the original form of the personality of Godhead. He's on the altar there with his flute. And beside him is the personification of love of God, Srimati Radharani, who manifests pure love for Krishna. So, said that sometimes Krishna would become very mystified because it appeared to him that Radharani was enjoying a higher level of pleasure than he himself was enjoying. He was the supreme object of love. She's the supreme spiritual lover. But it appeared to Krishna that actually she's enjoying more. It was a big mystery to him. So he wanted, at a certain time, we don't know when or how these things are happening on the level of eternity beyond our concepts of past, present, and future. But you can say at a certain time in that eternity, Krishna wanted to know, what is the experience? What is the experience of the lover of God, the devotee of God? So he took on the mood of Radharani, of surrendering everything to Krishna. So, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayanya, Lord Chaitanya is actually the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Krishna in the mood of Radharani. Now, originally Krishna has a bluish color and Radharani has a golden color. So, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, as we can see depicted here, is golden. It's Krishna with the complexion, the golden complexion of Radharani. So there's a whole esoteric aspect to the incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which we can come to understand and appreciate by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, by serving Krishna in the mood of Lord Chaitanya, helping expand his movement. And when we do that, we'll understand that activities like the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, the chanting and dancing that we're doing in the temple, is actually non-different from Krishna dancing with Radharani and her girlfriends, the gopis. That's kind of the highest realization. But it's possible to get by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And that's what I meant when I said in the beginning that Lord Chaitanya is giving the most valuable thing, the highest realization that it's possible to achieve. We just have to accept it. Thank you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Okay. Does anybody have any question? Yes.
There's a tendency to take for granted things that are acquired easily, regardless of their intrinsic value. And you mentioned that Lord Chaitanya is giving the most valuable thing freely. How do we continue to appreciate this gift, even though it was acquired so easily?
Well, we have to consider what the result of not having it is. And the result of not having it is remaining entangled in the cycle of birth and death, remaining under the influence of the Kali Yuga. In this age of Kali, it is predicted, it is a very bad age to be in. Sinful activities are very prominent. Things that people could not imagine in previous ages are now the standard of life. Eating meat, for example, eating meat, fish, and eggs, taking all kinds of intoxicants, not just the so-called legal ones like alcohol and coffee and tea and cigarettes, but all these illegal kinds of drugs and things. Being entangled in all kinds of material relationships that end only in frustration. And disease and things like that. So we have to consider what the alternative is. And I think that will make us appreciate the great mercy that we've been given. Something else. Yes.
For people that are not of people who are not born in Brahmin families calling themselves Brahmanas?
Well, there is historical precedent for it. And there are, of course, the examples that are given in Lord Chaitanya's life. And then even Krishna, I was citing here, Chaturvarnya Mayashristam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha, that the varnas are established by quality and work, not by birth. Krishna doesn't say janma. He doesn't say it's established by, you know, birth. And then there are examples in the Puranas of, for example, there are examples in the Puranas of persons who began their life as Kshatriyas, but then later took the position of Brahmanas. You know, there are examples like that. And so there are examples, yes. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.